Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Why it matters.
Money FM 89.3. It is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Dankert. It's time now for Why It Matters. Now, according to the CrowdStrike 2024 Global Threat Report, e-crime, which includes identity-related scams, was the most pervasive cyber threat landscape last year. In fact, with the tax-paying season just around the corner, so are scammers and cyber criminals. While targeting consumers has been the norm in recent years, this year cyber criminals are going a step ahead, and they're even targeting tax professionals, posing as potential clients, say, via email, seemingly seeking assistance with tax preparation, phishing emails, perhaps, those that contain malicious links or attachments that stake claim to their customer data or vital tax filing credentials. Get the picture? So with the rise of AI and language processing tools, consumers will need to be on their guard a lot more, since scammers are now, well, seemingly able to engage in so many different languages and, you know, putting their social engineering game a whole lot higher. So what precautions can we put in place during this tax season? Well, I've got a guy to help us out. On the line with me is Scott Yarkoff, who is Director of Intelligence Strategy at CrowdStrike. Scott, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Not too bad, sir. This is actually my favorite topic, catching the bad guys. CrowdStrike, of course, we've heard the name. It's an American cybersecurity technology company. It's based in Austin. But let's talk about tax scams 2.0. How is it different from the initial version?
I mean, you know, with, as you mentioned, I think in your opening, with the kind of proliferation of generative AI, the scammers are, you know, now provided with some tools that helps their lures sound way more authentic. You know, in previous versions, the ultimate goal was more or less the same, right? To steal usernames and passwords, to potentially steal data, to try and log into bank accounts, to, you know, to do what, you know, ultimately would at the end of the day get the adversary or the criminal some documentation or, more importantly, some money. But with the proliferation of tools like generative AI, it makes it very, very difficult for the victim to discern the difference between, you know, what's potentially an actual phishing attack or what is maybe even a legitimate email that's actually coming from a tax professional or possibly even the government. So I think that's probably one of the biggest things is, you know, this rise in technology that's allowing the criminals and the adversaries to sound way more authentic, way more genuine, which just makes the onus on the average taxpayer that much more difficult at the end of the day.
So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario. You know, I have to put in the technology, otherwise I will be left behind. But if I put in the technology, people are more endangered or put in danger of being scammed. What preventive measures can we put in place then?
I mean, there's a number of things to do, right? I mean, there's technologies and then there's the people side, right? You know, when we always talk about how do you combat problems like this, it always comes down to a people, process, and technology problem. And so from the technology side of the house, it's about making sure, like, and let's differentiate between tax professionals who, you know, have a business to run, whether we're talking about small and medium-sized businesses or even enterprise, versus is, you know, the average taxpayer. On the business side of the house, businesses absolutely need to invest in the right technology. Okay. They need to ensure that the security technologies that they're leveraging to protect their corporate environment is going to be able to account for the types of behaviors that we're witnessing from these types of adversaries. And that means, you know, protecting the endpoint with modern technologies, not reverting back to or continuing to use signature-based antivirus. You need to use technologies like the ones that, you know, CrowdStrike has pioneered with the, you know, cloud-based and cloud-native environment, where essentially all of the decisions are being made in the cloud based on crowdsourced data. So that's, I think, the main area from the business perspective, is making sure from a technological perspective you're investing in the right tooling. On the, you know, standard taxpayer side, it's making sure, of course, that you're at least running some kind of, you know, antivirus software on your home computer, but also practicing, you know, some standard best practice hygiene, right? So don't open email attachments from people that you weren't expecting to receive an email from, because chances are it's going to contain something illegitimate or potentially even malicious. And that doesn't just mean on the email side of the house. This means also paying attention to what is happening on social media and or your, you know, instant messaging applications. Like literally just this morning, I got hit on WhatsApp with a scam.
Oh.
And somebody trying to, you know, get me to open up a document that's going to, or trying to get me to send a get them to allow them to send me a document that ultimately is going to do something malicious.
Yeah.
So it's about understanding on the people side and on the technology side, this is going to happen and you need to be prepared for it and be cognizant of it. Going back to the business side of the house, also, you know, I mentioned on the endpoints, making sure you're running the right technologies, but this also extends to the cloud. This extends to identities, you know, making sure that you're protecting the assets in the cloud, because everyone is going through this digital transformation, storing data in the cloud, and adversaries are focusing on attacking the cloud as well. They're getting cloud proficient, not just, you know, capable. Now they're getting highly proficient in attacking assets in the cloud. This is also about identities, making sure you're protecting those usernames and passwords, those precious logins to corporate assets that if harvested by a criminal and then sold on the dark web, on the forums and marketplaces, could lead to another criminal purchasing them and then gaining access to that very valuable data. So I think those are just some of like the basic, kind of no-brainer types of things that, you know, the corporate side and the, you know, general citizenry side can take from a, you know, processes, people, and technology perspective.
It's interesting, Scott. I like the way you broke all of that down. And it's got me curious on one point. Who is more at risk here? I'm thinking that if I'm a consumer, my risk factor can be mitigated by employing a don't trust anyone sort of policy, right? So I double check everything. But on the tax professional side, could it make their job even harder?
I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the conundrum that we face, right, is the tax professionals are probably in a much more precarious position than the average everyday, you know, taxpayer, because as you said, you just adopt the, you know, deny by default, allow by exception rule, which is, you know, in security is the standard way that we approach these problems. And yeah, so that's a little bit easier for the general public. The tax professional has to be a bit more discerning, right? They have to learn to weigh what they're looking at with a little bit more scrutiny and then, you know, make a decision as to whether or not it's safe to open a particular, you know, piece of email. But this also goes back to the technology piece, right? If the organization is employing the proper technologies and has the right processes in place, the people component is definitely, you know, an issue, but it's also going to, you know, work in conjunction with the processes and technologies. And ideally, we're with the right technologies in place, you're decreasing that risk dramatically. But at the end of the day, I think we all know that the human in front of the keyboard or in front of their smartphone is ultimately the last link in this, you know, very precarious chain. So, yeah, their job is, at the end of the day, much more difficult.
But right technologies in place, and just on that note, is it necessary that this has to be like a let our powers combine sort of scenario? And what I mean by that is the telcos, the banks, the businesses, the governments, they've all got to be working together with the same right technologies and creating that same right ecosystem in order to fight against the bad guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure. This is not just on the tax professionals. This is a multifaceted problem that everyone plays a part in, because any one of these links can fail. And if any one of those links fail, then, you know, there's a potential huge, you know, I guess possible breach that could occur. Any major problem could happen if any one of those links fail, right? If the tax professional fails, then you're now potentially allowing criminals into the network to, you know, steal sensitive user data, which could allow them to then steal money. If you let the nation state adversaries into the networks, which in the case of tax season is actually quite important, because if you think about the amount of personally identifiable information that a tax professional holds on the citizens, just imagine how attractive that is to a nation state. And there's very specific nation states that are operating within the region here who love that kind of data.
Okay.
And that's another area that you need to be concerned with. And so it's important and it's vital that the tax professionals are aware of this. But similarly, it's up to the government to make sure that they're not only protecting the government side of the house, you know, as the submissions are occurring, making sure that the data is safe once the tax submission is filed, but then also communicating back out to the tax professionals and even to the citizenry that these are the types of scams that are occurring. Here are the best practices. Here are the technologies that we, you know, potentially suggest that you invest in, or the types of technologies, you know, not anything necessarily prescriptive, but at least descriptive, right? So I think those are some areas where, like, this ecosystem needs to work in conjunction with each other in order for us to, at the end of the day, decrease the risk to the entire ecosystem, right?
Okay. Scott, just have a final question very quickly. What are, I mean, considering that 2024 is likely to see more of these enhanced social engineering effectiveness coming out, how do we guard ourselves? How do we identify some of these common tactics that these malicious actors tend to use?
Well, I mean, the common tactics are, you know, trying to trick people into entering their usernames and passwords into places that they shouldn't. And so it's, you know, a matter of making sure that if you get asked for your username and password, just, you know, make absolute certain that where you're going to type that username and password is the legitimate site, right? Don't be entering your username and password in places that you shouldn't. Also, make sure that if you're a tax professional or a business that's, you know, going through digital transformation and is migrating assets into the cloud, that everything is configured properly, that you have the right visibility into the cloud, and that you have the right technologies that don't not only provide you with that visibility, but also provide you with the protection in the cloud. Similar with, you know, what I talked about earlier around identity, making sure that your businesses are protecting your business identities. I'd say also cautious, especially if you're the government and or a tax professional, be cautious what you put into generative AI. And in particular, the text-based generative AI tools, you know, like ChatGPT, et cetera, because everything that you're putting into those tools, you are then also helping to train. And if you're putting your customers' data, you know, into those tools in order to try and help make your job easier, well, now you're also potentially providing that data to the criminals and or the nation state adversaries that are after that data. So, you know, using some common sense and not putting people's data at risk is also just as important, you know, as it is, you know, I guess, potentially fun and useful as those tools are. You got to be cautious about it.
That is excellent stuff. Thank you so much for your time. I've been speaking with Scott Jerkoff, who is Director of Intelligence Strategy at CrowdStrike. Scott, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much for having me, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.